From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. And coming up, the operator of a toll road in Indiana filed for bankruptcy this week. We'll talk about the reasons private companies want to operate our roadways and whether it's a good deal for taxpayers.
But first, there are reports today that a French hostage has been beheaded by ISIS militants in Algeria. Here's President Obama speaking about ISIS before the UN this morning.
No God condones this terror. No grievance justifies these actions. There can be no reasoning, no negotiation with this brand of evil. The only language understood by killers like this is the language of force. So the United States of America will work with a broad coalition to dismantle this network of death.
And indeed, the U.S.-led airstrikes against ISIS in Iraq and Syria continued last night and today. Anthony Cordesman is national security analyst at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He's a consultant to the Pentagon. He joins us from Washington. Dr. Cordesman, so good to speak with you again.
A pleasure.
And just your sense on how the strikes have gone so far. We're hearing reports that they have actually stalled ISIS.
I think they certainly had an impact. It's very hard to tell because some of these strikes have hit at major facilities that are probably critical. Others have been essentially to get one or two vehicles. And there's been no overall assessment of what is happening. And quite frankly, there can't be. It takes at least several days to make that kind of damage assessment. But what is clear, these are really major efforts to stop the Islamic State.
Well, and the goal, the ultimate goal, is to allow rebels in Syria and the Iraq army to stand up themselves and fight ISIS. But just backing up, you were for the strikes. One of your pieces is titled The Islamic State, The Case for Expanding the Air War. Just basically, why? Why do you think it was so important?
We had a humanitarian crisis getting steadily worse. We saw the Islamic State, although it had some reversals in dealing with the Kurds, was still able to make advances. There simply wasn't time to wait. The other problem that was really critical is you had to send a signal of American resolve. You also couldn't give the Islamic State more and more time to disperse, to use human shields, to really anticipate the airstrikes in advance.
Do you think they have done that now?
I think they have certainly are trying to do what they can. But you have to realize that there were weeks, if not months, of efforts to target these strikes. And so these strikes probably have had a serious impact on the Islamic State, even though it did have some degree of warning.
But you mentioned the Kurds. They have an outlawed separatist movement in Turkey. And so Turkey, we're hearing, is a little nervous about Kurds becoming too militarized. While you wanted the airstrikes, you also talk about the risks, as you always do. Is that one of them, and what are your concerns?
Well, I think the most serious risk we face, quite frankly, is whether the Iraqi government can bring back the Sunnis and the Kurds into something approaching a unified Iraq. If that doesn't happen, there won't be a ground element. And without that, the airstrikes alone can't succeed. But Turkey is a weak link in the alliance. It isn't just the Kurdish issue that's involved. There are serious tensions between the head of the civil government and the security services and the military. The other risks are, frankly, whatever happens in Iraq, if that's successful, we won't be able to build up a moderate group of rebels that can achieve any kind of power inside of Syria. And you'll end up with a Syria that is still divided with all of the humanitarian implications and all of the impact on stability.
Well, just today, Secretary of State John Kerry said that he thought Turkey would sign on to the coalition. Are you saying that unless they do, you'll still be worried?
I think, look, all of us need to be worried. We've been told again and again, this is a struggle that will take years. We have to look beyond the Islamic State, important as it is, and realize that this is an ideological battle, And we simply have to face the fact this is very complex. It involves a lot of risks. We're going to have to change and innovate to make it work, because the alternative isn't simply a limited number of terrorist attacks in the United States or the West. It is watching the entire Middle East deteriorate and put a massive threat to the world's major source of energy exports.
Well, Dr. Cordesman, one last question. There's a lot of concern about arming the rebels who are fighting the Assad regime and fighting ISIS. A concern that if we'd done that a year ago, those weapons would have fallen into the hands of ISIS. And we know that ISIS rode American Humvees in when they took Mosul in Iraq. You make a unique suggestion, giving Syrian rebels, again, not ISIS, but the nationalists, advanced weaponry that is time-limited or can be remotely shut off if it falls into the wrong hands. Someone's calling this a Dr. Strangelove of the insurgency moment. Do you really think that could work?
These are ideas which were first raised in the 1970s. There are some risks in it, but the problem that's now evolved is the rebels already have anti-tank guided weapons. They already have captured short-range air defense systems. They have man-portable air defense systems. So it isn't a matter of having rebels that don't have these weapons. It's the rebels that are moderate that don't have the arms, and the extremists that actually have them.
Dr. Anthony Cordesman, National Security Analyst at the Center for Strategic and International Studies and a consultant to the Pentagon. Thank you.
Thank you.